Now, in your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 15. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1096. 1096. Reading responsibly the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 15. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. Verses 4 and 8 are the text verses with the 9, so notice those. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eat with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And let's pray. Father, you're good to give us this opportunity to be here. Thank you for health and strength enough to be here. Thank you for the freedom to be here and to meet. Thank you for preaching the word, and we pray that you'd bless both preacher and the hearing of the word, that which you would want of the service might be accomplished, and so blessed in our midst and help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
They said about Jesus when he and sinners and publicans came to him. Publicans meaning Republicans and sinners meaning Democrats. I'm just kidding about that. Sinners meaning Republicans and Democrats. But they said about him, they said, hey, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I love the little story. I forgot what preacher it was, but it really happened. Some preacher, and there's a friend of mine, had a little girl in his church. Her name was Edith. And when she heard that scripture, she was so pleased. She went home and said, Mama, guess what? Jesus received me. And Mama said, well, how do you know? Said, because the Bible says so. And said, how do you know, Edith? Said, because the Bible said, Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And so she said, I got saved. That's not exactly what it means, but I'll buy it. And they said, he received sinners. And so our Lord chose three parables. These are earthly stories to teach divine meanings. One about the lost sheep, one about the lost coin, and one about the lost son. I want to call your attention. These little words, you need not look at it again, but in verse 4 it says, until he find it, talking about the sheep. It says that he searched for the sheep until he find it. And then in the verse 8, it talks about the lost coin. This lady had lost the coin and had 10 coins. By the way, I think personally that this had to do with a 10-coin necklace. When a lady got married, they gave her a necklace, and often it was given by the bridegroom as a wedding gift, and it had 10 coins on it, and it was sort of like a wedding necklace, like a wedding ring or something. And so she would take it, and to lose this one of these 10 coins was like losing your wedding band. And oh, she was disturbed. She said, I've got to find it. And so she lights a candle. She begins to clean house. And the Bible says that she kept on looking until she found it. And those little lines, those little words, until he findeth. I like them. I like those words. Until he findeth. How long did the sheep, the shepherd look for the sheep? Until he found it. How long did the woman look for the coin? Until she found it. She didn't give up. He didn't give up. The shepherd said, I'll get the sheep. How long is it going to take? Don't know. I'll get it. How long are you going to work at it? Till I find it. How long are you going to work on getting the coin, lady? Don't have any set time. I'm going to work till I find it. That's how long. Till I find it. Father, bless the message. And I pray you'd help us to gain some character teaching from this service tonight, from this message. And may we decide not to give our pursuit for that which is right for us to have, but help us to keep on looking until we find it. Amen. Now here's the sheep. The song says, there was 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. One was out on the hills away. No, the 99 were not laying in the shelter safely in the fold. The Bible says, he leaveth the 99 in the wilderness. The song is wrong. Ought to say there were 99 that unsafely lay in the danger of the wilderness, but one was out on the hills away. And the shepherd left the 99 and went out for the one that was lost. And the Bible says, he sought until he find it. Doesn't say how long he sought. It may have been a few minutes before he found the lost sheep. It doesn't say. It may have been a few hours before he found the lost sheep. It doesn't say. It may have been a few weeks before he found the lost sheep. It doesn't say. It may have been a few months before he found the lost sheep. It doesn't say. It may have been a few years. I doubt it, but it could have been before he found the lost sheep. Doesn't say. Didn't matter how long. A few minutes? Okay. A few hours? Okay. If it takes a few hours to find it, we'll take a few hours. A few days? Okay. If it takes a few days, how long are you going to go there, fella? How long are you looking for the sheep? Till I find it. Well, what's going to happen to 99? Don't know. How long are you going to keep on hunting? Till I find it. You're going to look for days? Till I find it. You're going to look for hours? I'm going to look till I find it. You're going to look for weeks? I'm going to look till I find it. You're going to look for months? I'm going to look till I find it. You're going to look for years? Doesn't matter. Years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, doesn't matter. I'm going to look till I find it. Boy, I like that guy. I like that guy. He didn't stop short. He said, I'm going to get the sheep before I come back. I'm not coming back until I get the sheep. By the way, some of you ought to do the same thing about a sheep skin. Yeah, you dirty traitor, turncoat. He said, I'm not going to come back. Well, it doesn't, by the way, it doesn't say how long. It also doesn't say how far he had to go. He may have just searched around the house and couldn't find the sheep for a while and found the sheep around the house. Doesn't say. He may have had to go all over the farm. It doesn't say. He may have had to go all over an area. It doesn't say. He may have had to look all over the countryside. It doesn't say. He may have had to go outside the countryside. It doesn't say. It doesn't say how far. It doesn't matter. How far are you going to go? Going to go till I find it. Well, how many miles? Till I find it. Where are you going to go to the next town? Going to go till I find it. Where are you going to go to the next county? Going to go till I find it. You going to go out of state? Going to go till I find it. Doesn't say how far he went. He said he went until he found it. Now, no matter how far or how long. And also, it doesn't say how dangerous the trip was. It may have been that he sought the lost sheep on a flat plain where there was no danger. It may have been that he sought the lost sheep around the pasture. It may have been he sought the lost sheep in a beautiful meadow. It may have been he sought the lost sheep on steep mountains. It may have been he sought the lost sheep through verdant valleys and beautiful plains. Or rolling hills. We don't know. We don't know whether it was dangerous or not. It may have been that he went through dangerous serpent places where serpents lay and deadly poisonous venom was waiting for him. It doesn't say. It may have been he went where wild animals lurched in the darkness. We don't know. It doesn't say. It may be he went where robbers were and where his life was endangered at the hands of Bedouin robbers. It doesn't say. It doesn't say how far he went. It just said he kept on till he found it. It doesn't say how long it took. It just says he kept on till he found it. It doesn't say how much danger was there or how little danger was there. It just says he kept on till he found it. Listen, you're never going to have the character that you ought to have if you decide that thing which God wants me to have, that thing I've set out to get, I'm going to keep on looking till I find it.
It matters not how far I've got to go. It matters not how long I've got to work. It matters not how dangerous and difficult the task. It matters not how many obstacles in my way. I am going to search till I find it. Oh, listen, if you get that one truth about everything that's right to have every adventure on which you set out, get it till I find it. He sought the lost sheep till he found him. And there's a widow. She sought the lost coin. Now, it does not say how long it took her to find this lost coin. It doesn't say. It doesn't say whether it was a few minutes when she just got the candle out, began to sweep the floor, and there was the lost coin. It doesn't say. It may have been several minutes before she found it. It does not say. It may have been several hours before she found the lost coin. It does not say. It may have been days. We don't know. It doesn't say how long it was. It may have been days. I know one thing. When she found it, she called the neighbors in to rejoice with her. That's how happy she was. It must have been somewhat of a difficult thing. So, but how long did she do it? Minutes? Doesn't matter. I'm going to keep looking to find it. This is my wedding necklace. This is given me by my bridegroom. How long are you going to look? Several minutes? Till I find it. How long are you going to look? Several hours? I'm going to look till I find it. How long are you going to look? Several days? I'm going to look till I find it. How long are you going to look? Several weeks? I'm going to look till I find it. It does not say, by the way, it doesn't say how big the house was. It may have been a little one-room house. And she only had one room to sweep and to clean and try to find the coin. It doesn't say. It may have been 10 rooms. It doesn't say. Well, you going to clean this whole big house? How long ago? I'm going to do it till I find it. Well, how long are you going to keep cleaning? I'm going to do it till I find it. Well, how clean will the house get? I'm going to get clean enough till I find it. Well, you're going to tear the furniture apart? I'm going to find it. But, do you mean you're going to lift the rug up? I'm going to find it. Does that mean you're going to look underneath the floor? I'm going to find it. Well, look, lady, you got other chores. You got kids to rear. you got jobs to do, and you got a husband, and so forth. How long are you going to look? I am going to look till I find it, she said. Boy, I like that gal. She didn't say, I'm going to try best I can. I'm going to do my best. She said, no, sir. I'm going to look till I find it. And she did. Look until... And by the way, that word diligently says she sought diligently. That word, I like it. It means ransacked. I mean, tonight, I was going to put a bunch of stuff in the pulpit. I forgot all about it. I was going to start throwing stuff out. You know, I'm going to look till I find it. I'm going to look till I find it. I got to find it. Man alive, I'm going to keep looking till I find it. And she pulled out the drawers, and she pulled everything out of the drawers. And she got the closet out, looked in the pocket of every coat and the pocket of every shirt, and she checked the hem of every cuff, and she checked the hem of every garment, and she said, I'm going to ransack the house if I've got to. Don't you undo what I've done there, buddy. And she said, I'm going to find it. And she looked. Oh, listen, how about this for a last verse? How about that for a last verse? Till he find it. Till he find it. You fall shorters. You turn backers. You quitters. You wash outers. You folks that let some little thing like a recession cause you to turn back. Or let some little thing like discouragement cause you to turn back. I do not know how discouraged this man may have gotten as he was out looking for that lost sheep. And the 99 were back in the wilderness, the Bible says. And he got thinking about those 99, but he said, I'm going to find it. I've started something. I'm going to find it. And he said, I'm looking until I find it. You know, I wish I could transfer to every single person in this room that quality till I find it. You fellows back there in the Navy, you see that right there? That's a set of paratroop wings. That's something you guys not men enough to ever get. Now, these are not the ones that I earned, but there are some that were given me, and they're exactly like those, except these, there's a pen on mine. These have, what do you call these little things there? Little doodads on them. But this is a real replica, these are real paratroop wings. Now, I set out one day to get me a pair of those. I decided I was going to wear that. Wore them right up here above our pocket. And I decided I was going to get a pair of those. And you wouldn't believe all I went through for that little fiddling thing right there with two doodads on the back of it. But I decided to get it. And somebody said, Brother Hiles. I said, Brother Hiles. I wasn't Brother Hiles. Okay. I said, Jack. Doesn't sound right, does it? They said, you going to try to be a paratrooper? Nope. You've got to be a paratrooper. Well, don't some folks wash out? Yeah. In our group, the first week, 1,109 started and 809 washed out the first week. We had 4 weeks of training. But you say, well, now, wait a minute. Weren't some of those fellows stronger than you? Yeah, but I was going to keep looking until I found it. Uh-huh. I decided to get one. You say, how'd you know? Because I wanted one. I wanted to be a paratrooper. I wanted those wings right there. I wanted that patch up here, airborne patch right here. I wanted those boots. So I stood out, I was going to get this. Now, I had some obstacles. The first one was, I was colorblind. That's how Stan got into college. That's how you got in, too. And I was colorblind. Now, I can tell colors. I can tell Brother John's on the white suit. And I can tell colors pretty well. I'm 5% colorblind, but that was too much to get me into paratroopers. So, I had a problem. 300 of us were taking the physical that day, and they checked everything about us, good night, and they came up this colorblind chart. Well, we're all lined up there for the colorblind chart. 299 of them took the colorblind test. I was the one that didn't. You say, well, how'd you get by with it? I found a way around the colorblind test. You say, you mean you didn't take the colorblind test? No, I didn't take the colorblind test. Well, you say, why? Because I was it. Well, what would have happened? I wouldn't have been a paratrooper. And I was going to look for these, but I found them. Till he find it. Well, Brother Hiles, have you another problem? Yeah. They put me in the hospital, and they gave us some check, and they found something wrong at the bottom of my spine. A curvature down here at the bottom of the spine somewhere. And they said, Private Hiles, you'll have to go to the hospital for some tests. And my outfit was shipping out that night to take training. And so I said, how long have you been in the hospital? And they said, several days. But I aimed to keep looking for this till I found it. So that night, I tied some bed sheets together out the window and crawled down the window of the hospital, outside the hospital, and got on the truck with our fellows and shipped out. And I have not yet gotten the results of those final tests. Yes, I know. I'm crooked. I know that for sure. But I'm saying this. Well, Brother Hiles, you mean you slipped out of the hospital? Yeah, escape. Yeah, that's like this Polish fellow that's going to go to the zoo and to capture the ostriches for being held. You didn't get that, did you? But anyway, I was being held an ostrich. And look, folks, I haven't got time to wait for you to laugh. Now, if you're not going to laugh, don't laugh. But if you're going to laugh, laugh when I laugh. If it's not funny, if I think it's funny, laugh. And they took the test, but I didn't ever wait around to see what the results were. I escaped. Fine. I was going to get me a pair of these. Till I find it. I'm not a little colorblind test to keep me from getting a pair of these wings. A little crooked spine? No, sir. I still don't know what's wrong. I may have cancer of the spine right now. I don't know. But I tell you what, brother, it wasn't cancer then. It was cancer. Not cancer. I was looking for it. I wanted those. I wanted those here on my chest. I wanted those boots on. I wanted that insignia on. I wanted to be a paratrooper. And I looked and sought and I found it. You little washer-outers and turn-backers and quitters and used-to-beers and gonna-doers and can't-doers and you find that goal and you keep your eye on that goal and you seek that which is your goal. How long? I don't know how long, but till you find it. Well, where? I don't know where. But you keep looking till you find it.
First day we had calisthenics. Had to run a mile. First day, ran a mile. Up and down hills with boots on. Second day, 2 miles. Third day, 3 miles. Fourth day, 4 miles. Fifth day, five. Sixth day, six. Seventh day, seven. Eighth day, eight. Ninth day, nine. Tenth day, 10 miles. I mean 10 miles without a stop, without a break. I mean without slowing down. I mean without stopping to walk. 10 miles, running, counting cadence. Up, up, beep, up, 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 beep, up. With boots on and 10 miles. First day, ran a mile. I had 103 fever when I woke up that morning. Went out, ran the mile. I got about 100 feet or so from the end of the mile run, and I fainted. And I vomited. I'm sorry, I regurgitated. And I fell right in the middle, face down, in the middle of a part of me that had just exited the premises. And there I was, fainted, face down, with regurgitation covering my countenance. And a sergeant kicked me in the side, and he said to me, he said, "Soldier, in this outfit, when we quit running, we fall." Well, I was too weak to run. 103 fever. Just passed out, barely conscious. But I was going to seek this pair of wings till I found it. And so I got up on my hands and knees and crawled over 100 feet, vomiting all the way. You say, "What are you trying to tell me?" I'm trying to tell you that I was going to get it. I'm trying to tell you that I set out back yonder in Fort Hood, Camp Hood, Texas. It's the Camp Hood, now it's Fort Hood, Texas. In 1944, I set out to get me a pair of wings. How long to get it? Till I found it. First week we had calisthenics. Every day, we had to do 90 push-ups with a full field pack on our back. Now, folks, that means a tent. That means a carbine rifle. That means mess gear. That means a blanket. That means tent pegs all rolled up in the back, in the pack, on your back. And I had to do 90 push-ups. Had to do 35 push-ups with one hand. Or wash out. I had done 20 push-ups one time when I was in high school with both hands. Now I had to do 90 with a full field pack on the back. Now I can't do 9. It's just full field pack on my front. But you say, "Did you do those 90 push-ups?" "Yeah, I did." You say, "Well, how'd you do it?" "I don't know, except I was going to seek this till I found it. Till I found it." That's what I went there for. Was to find this. And I was going to find it. I'll never forget it. In paratroop training, we had fellows there. See, in paratroop training, officers come. And they're under these sergeants. Because they come outfit, they want to get their wings in addition to what they already are. And I can tell you what officers are. You'll see me after service out in the alley. But we had a colonel. I can still see him. About 6'4". Great, big, husky kind of a guy, a weightlifter, and a giant of a fella. And we were doing push-ups. He got cramps and couldn't do any more push-ups and couldn't run that day. And so the next morning, the sergeants were after him the next morning. Oh, by the way, we did our calisthenics in a sawdust pit. They had a piece of wood, 2x10 or something, around, it must have been about the size of these two sections right here. And we all get those things, and it's filled with sawdust, just completely filled with sawdust. And so we reported the next morning, and this colonel was there, and the sergeant said, "Call the roll." And he said, he got out of this colonel's name, and he said, the colonel called his name, and he said, "Here!" And the sergeant said, "Sound off, colonel!" You heard that, you old FBI. "Sound off, colonel!" And the colonel said, "You said, here!" And he said, "Give me 25 push-ups, colonel." That's what you'd say to punish somebody. "Give me 25. But give me 25. And the colonel said, "You say sir when you talk to me, sergeant." And the sergeant said, "Okay, give me 50, sir."
You won't believe this story. I wouldn't believe it if you told it, but it's true, and God knows it because he was there. And the colonel got mad and spit in the sawdust. And that sergeant made that colonel get down with his teeth and get that spittle up. Dig it out. And then with that spittle in his teeth, he had to run around the circle for an hour while we were doing calisthenics, saying, I've been a bad colonel, I've been a bad colonel, I've been a bad colonel, I've been a bad colonel. You think we privates didn't enjoy that? Man alive, how'd you like to see the admiral doing that, fella? Yeah. You say, preacher, how did you take it? I weighed 135 pounds of gristle. That's all it was. And we had fellows there, all American fellows who fell out and didn't make it. Well, you say, how did you do it? I was going to keep looking for this till I found it. Till I found it. That's what I wanted. Till I found it. First parachute jump I ever made. We'd stand in the, get up in an airplane. 18 of us would jump, 9 on this side, 9 on this side, for what was called a C-46 or a C-47 in those days. They converted into DC-3s for public use and commercial use. But we'd sit across from each other, had a big table going down the middle of the airplane. And you'd stand up, and you, on your parachute, you had a static line, they called it. And the static line had a hook on the end of it, and you'd hook that static line on that cable. You jumped out of the airplane, the paratroopers, you didn't have to pull the ripcord for your first one, main chute, because that cable, when it got 15 feet lengthened, the cable would pull the back of the chute off. It just held together with twine, and pull the back of the chute off, and you'd jump out of the airplane, and actually they'd say, stand up and hook up! And so you'd all stand up, and you'd face the rear of the plane like this. And here's the doors over here on this side. Plane's going that way. And so the sergeant would say, check equipment! And so the fellow behind you would check your parachute, be sure all was in order. You'd check the fellow in front of you, be sure that all was in order. And then the sergeant would say, count off! And he'd start in the back. 18 okay, 17 okay, 16 okay, 15 okay, 14 okay, 13 okay, 12 okay, 11 okay, 10 okay, 9 okay, 8 okay, 7 okay, 6 okay, 5 okay, 4 okay, 3 okay, 2 okay, 1 okay. Then the sergeant would say, stand in the door. And then you'd get in the door. Just like this. That's quick up there. You're doing well. And just like this. With your foot right like that and your hands. Come on, man. Hold it right here. Your hands just like this. Hold it from the mouth. And just like this. And the noise comes out of here, not out of here. And I don't want to eat it, just want to talk over it. So I put my hands like this. And they said, okay. The sergeant said, ready, go. And then you'd jump like this, and then you'd put your knees and feet together, and your hands around your parachute, put your chin near your chest, and count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And, thank you. And if your chute didn't open, then you pull the ripcord on the reserve chute. And so we were up in the plane, and it's been years since I've told this story here. I guess it's been 12 years or so. But I, right in front of me, I was a second fella. Right in front of me was a little black boy from Harlem. And he wanted to jump. And so they said, ready, jump. And he said, no, sir, I ain't going to jump. I ain't going to jump. I haven't got time to go through the whole story. But they took him down and said, okay, sign the quit slip. That means you're washed up. And he got to thinking about that girlfriend he had in Harlem and about that patch on his arm and that those wings on his chest and those boots on his feet. And he pictured himself walking down Harlem with that little girl adoringly looking at him. And he said, I don't want to sign the quit slip. I want to jump back up in the airplane and back in the aisle. Stand up and hook up again. Check equipment again. Count off again. Stand in the door again. Ready? Go again. No, sir, he said, I don't feel like I want to go. They took him back down and put him before the quit slip in the hangar, the desk in the hangar. And he thought about that little girl in Harlem. He saw that patch. He saw those wings. He saw those boots. And he said, I want to go back and jump. And he went the third time. I saw 4 sergeants and 3 lieutenants. Push, beg, order, command, pry, kick. That fella, as far as I know, he still is not going out of that airplane. Now, I'm saying, I saw that, folks. And after he decided not to jump, I was number one in the door. You say, how did you feel? chicken. And you say, did you jump? Yes, I jumped. Well, you say, how could you do it? I'll tell you how, because I was going to look for these things till I found them. Till I found them. Till I found them. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing. When I stood in the door, a little boy behind me, his name was Johnson from Kennedy, Texas. Little boy, short little guy, broad-shouldered little guy, just a simple fellow from the country down near Kennedy, Texas. I was standing in the door, and Johnson, I felt a tap on the shoulder. The sergeant's about to say, hey, go! And I felt a tap on the shoulder, turned around, and there was Johnson, great big old tears running down his cheek. He looked up at me, and he said, Jack, he said, I'll quit if you will. I've had many offers in my day, but that excelleth them all, and I guarantee you for sure. I jumped. And the next day I jumped. And the next night I jumped. And the next day I jumped. And 14 other times I jumped. And one day in Fort Benning, Georgia, out of 1,109 men, I guess a couple hundred of us were left. And I walked across the platform of that little auditorium. And the commanding officer of our company said, I hereby award Private Jack Hiles, 384679, his paratroop wings. One of the proudest days of my life was when they pinned those wings on my chest. And I walked out a bona fide paratrooper. You say, how did you become a paratrooper? I kept looking for these, and I found them. When God told me to preach, I didn't want to preach. I couldn't preach. Didn't know how to preach. But I kept looking until I found it. When I went to college, I went to get a degree. I didn't go to study until I couldn't find a job. I didn't go to stay in that town until I got homesick. I went to get a degree. And not one time did I think of going back to my home in Dallas, Texas. Now, I had a tough time. I had to hunt for a job. I found a job for 60 cents an hour, as I said this morning. 60 cents an hour. I had cleared $19 a week. I had to walk a mile to school, walk a mile to the work, walk a couple miles home. Walked everywhere I went, had no car, I didn't walk a hitchhike, borrow a bicycle. I wasn't like some of you cowards. So what did you go to college for? Went to get the degree. Stayed till I found it. And by the way, if I hadn't graduated yet, I'd still be in Marshall, Texas. Went to get it. If you come here at the age of 19... and you're drawing your Social Security before you leave, you stay till you find it. If you come and get married the first month you're here, and you and your wife celebrate your golden wedding anniversary while you're here, you stay till you find it. Boy, I like this guy. How long to look for that sheet till I find it? How long, lady, you're going to go until I find it? Till I find it. No turning back.
When I first saw Hiles Anderson College campus, walking late one night, dark as pitch, and there was a Catholic fellow who called himself a priest in there. And I don't call him priest because our father, not because I'm mad at him. I called him Mister, like I called any other man. Don't call him Father, because the Bible forbids me to call him Father in Matthew 23:7-9. But I talked to him a while through the smoke screen. He'd puff, and he said, I said, this college, is it for sale? He said, we have 47 students. He said, no, we're not going to sell. And I said, seminary. And I said, well, look, we'd like to buy it for our Hiles Anderson College. And he looked at me, and he said some strong language, and he said, "Mr. Hiles," he said, "we're not going to set it, but if we ever do set it, the last people we'd ever set it to would be the Baptists." And I said, "Right." And I set out to pray down that college. How long would you pray until I found it? How long would you keep calling until I found it? If a month I went out there and prayed in the night for God to give it to us, the other day said, "How did you pray taking your shoes off during the night when it was wintertime?" Well, I had some thick socks. And then I chose my night to go. It was 20 below zero. I didn't feel led to go out there and pray. But I'll bind you one thing. I already couldn't claim the title deed of that college the night I talked to that fella when he said, "Last folks who said it to the Baptist people." "Well, how? What were you going to do?" "I was going to get it." And one day they called and said, "We're down to 9 students. We can't keep the doors open anymore." I cried and cried and cried. I hate to see anybody fail. We bickered and bickered. He said, "What did you give us for it?" He said, "We'll take 3.5 million. I said, "No, we just give 2 million. 2 million. There I was, and we give 2 million. I didn't have $2.50. 2 million. He came down to 3,250,000. I said, No, sir. I'll come up to 2,250,000. I'm like a boy playing Monopoly. He said, "We're down to 3 million. One day, driving to O'Hare Field, I stopped at a telephone. I called the fella, and I said, "My last offer is $2.5 million. I said, "If you don't take it, forget it." He said, we won't take it. I said, "Okay, goodbye." He said, "Hold it. We'll take it." I had to hang up in a hurry because I didn't want to hear him shouting. I went out the airplane. I got on the airplane singing, and the stewardess said, "You're mighty happy, aren't you?" I said, "You better know it." She said, "Why are you so happy?" I said, "Just bought me a college for $2.5 million. Even the folks in the first class section got envious of me and who that tycoon was. "How long are you going to get? Seek it till I find it. Till I find it. How long, fella? You're going to spend hunting for that? Well, you got 99 over here. Yeah, what you going to do about that one? Going to find it. Well, how long are you going to be gone? Till I find it. How far are you going to go? Till I find it. How much trouble are you going to endure? Till I find it. That thing that you, God wants you to have. And that thing that you set out to get. You keep on searching until you find it." And I was a young pastor. I was powerless. And I decided I was going to get the power of God on my life. I didn't know all about how to get the power of God on my life, but I knew I had to have the power of God. And I thought I have to get it. But how long does it take till you find it? Well, what do? You keep begging till you find it. Well, what are the steps? Keep on till you find it. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Till you find it. You know, I like Zacchaeus. The little bit of run of a guy. I like him. I know you're crooked. I like him. Not because he was crooked. But I like him. One day I was counseling one of our fine families, and I gave him an idea that was really a lulu of an idea, they thought. They looked at me and grinned, and and I said, "You don't have to be crooked to pastor this church, but it does help." I like Zacchaeus. Not because he's crooked. I don't believe anybody ought to be crooked, but I like him. Zacchaeus said, "I understand Jesus is coming down this way. I want to see him." He goes out the street, and the street's blocked. Somebody said, "You can't see him." He said, "I want to see him. And I'm going to ask the folks if I can go up and look out the window in their house." He goes upstairs.
and look out the window, and folks are still windows are all full. What's going to do, Zacchaeus? I want to see him. I want to see him. What's he going to do? He goes up on top of the house, and I want to see him. But the top of the house is all filled. He was a little bit short fellow. He couldn't be seen, and couldn't see. And he said, "I said, Zacchaeus, what's he going to do? I want to see Jesus when he comes by. How are you going to do it?" Looks up and sees that tree, sycamore tree. He's going to climb that sycamore tree. Well, Zacchaeus, you crazy fool. You're the tax collector in this town. You're going to be awful funny up there, up in a tree limb. Oh, wouldn't I love to get a tax collector up a tree? Out on a limb with a saw. He has a saw. And Zacchaeus, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the Lord God promised the Messiah would someday come. And the devil set out to block the Messiah's coming. Jesus said, the Father said, someday the seed of woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And someday the heel of the seed of woman shall be bruised by the head of the serpent. That's the coming of the Messiah. And the devil said, I'll keep him from coming. The devil comes down and causes Cain to kill Abel. And now the royal seed is tainted by murder. And now then, the seed that is going to someday bring forth the Christ child has been poisoned. But God says that Jesus is going to come. So there came another child named Seth, and from Seth there came the seed of the Christ child. And then one day, Joseph was carrying that seed in his own loins. And he was the carrier. And one day, the brothers said, we'll kill him. All of a sudden, God looked down and saw that the seed line and the coming of the Messiah was being threatened. And God allowed miraculously for them to sell him instead of killing him. And now Jesus can still come. And then there came the time when Mary was with child. And it was the law that said, if she's with child, put her away privately or take her life. And Joseph thought about it and was minded to put her away privately. If Joseph had put her away privately, she's carrying her own womb, the Christ child. An angel comes to Joseph and says, you're not to take Mary to thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, did you ever stop and think what it took for Joseph to believe that? Think about that for a minute. There never had been a virgin-born baby. And Joseph, his fiance is pregnant, expecting a baby. And so he says, I'm going to put her away. And somebody comes along and says, no, don't put her away. She's still a virgin. Can you imagine how hard it was for Joseph to believe that? But he did believe it. And she was spared, and the Christ child can still come. But then Herod came and said, I'll get it. I'll get it. I'll kill all the male Jews. All little babies. I'll kill them, all the male. Angel came and said to Joseph, Mary, take the Christ out to Egypt. Say, dead of Joseph. That Joseph was dead. He came back. Now we still have the promised Messiah, the devil fighting every moment to keep him from Calvary and to keep him from being raised from the dead. He comes in the fourth chapter of Matthew, the place of temptation. And there, the devil comes and gives him those three temptations. And if our Lord Jesus Christ had yielded to any of those temptations, we would have had no salvation tonight. But he shot the word of God back at him three times, and the devil was defeated. And then he goes to Gethsemane, and he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If that cup passes from him, not a single person will ever go to heaven. You and I have been lost in our sins. And yet, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And once again, there's still hope that there's going to come a Messiah. And then he goes to the cross. And he's on the cross paying the penalty for your sins and mine. And then the thief says, if you be the Christ, save thyself and us. And I hear the voice to say, if you're the Christ, come down to the cross. Oh, no, Jesus, don't come down. If you come down, we all die in our sins. And then he does die, and he says, it's finished, and now the payment's finished. He goes to the grave, and they put the soldiers to guard the grave so he won't rise from the dead. But blessed be God, he did rise from the dead. From Genesis 3:15, for 4,000 years, the death tried to block the coming of Christ. And here comes that seed lion, and the devil stands before him, and the seed lion dodges and goes around, and the devil stands before him and blocks him, and the seed lion again. And finally one day, the seed came, and finally one day, he died. He rose again. Why? Jesus decided to keep on until he found us. Till he find it. Till he find it. How long should you seek after that which you've vowed to get? Are you listening? No laughing, no cutting up. I'm serious about this thing. Till he finds it! Till he finds it! The work of Jesus Christ is being almost destroyed in 1981 because of quitters. You say, you're preaching to me. I'm preaching to every quitter here. Everyone. You're one of them. You're included. I'm simply saying that our country's going to hell. A nation stumbling right beneath our hands. Nobody can turn back. We've got to keep on till we find it. Till we find it. We've got to keep fighting till we find salvation for this nation. We've got to keep on going and keep on preaching and keep on traveling, keep on having pastor schools and keep on doing our job and keep on building our schools and keep on sending out preachers. Till we find this freedom our young people need to deserve and need to have the next generation. Till we find it. Till we find it. How long should you pray for that unsaved loved one? Till he gets saved. How long should you witness? Till he gets saved. How long should you keep on in the job you have? Till you go to heaven, unless God calls you to another job. How long should you keep your bus route? As long as you can walk to the bus and open the door and get on it. How long should you keep that stay in school? Till you find that diploma. Till you find it. Till you find it. Till you find it. And then he found that little lost sheep. May I tell you about how he did? He said that little lost sheep. He said, I'm going to stick my finger out here now, and I want you to hold on to it with your mouth. If you can hold on and we get back, you're going to get back in the fold. And he said, that little lost sheep, he said, I'm going to put my shepherd's crook out here. Rod. You hang on to that. Now, I'm going to pull and pull, but you've got to hang on. If you can hold out faithful, we get back to the fold, we'll let you back in the fold. Bible said he put that lost sheep on his shoulder. That's what Jesus did to me too. I'm not holding on. A lot of you folks think Noah put eight nails in the ark. He got a hold of one on the outside of the ark. He got a hold of one. Miss Noah got a hold of one. Miss Japheth got a hold of one. Japheth got a hold of one. Ham got a hold of one. Miss Ham got a hold of one. Shem got a hold of one. Miss Shem got a hold of one. They're all hanging on during the flood. And old Noah said, hold on there, Ham. Hold on there, Shem. Hold on there, Japheth. Hold on there, honey. Hold on there. I've got to hold out faithful to the end. No, you can't hold out faithful to the end because you didn't hold out faithful to the beginning. Oh. He puts that lost sheep on his shoulder. He brings it back. He puts it in the fold. He found it. That little lady found that lost coin. She called her neighbors and she said, I found it. I found it. I wonder why they rejoiced with it. I think they'd been praying for her. And they came and she said, I found the coin. Rejoice with me. Have you stopped short? Huh? Have you stopped short? Don't stop till you find it. But you say, preacher, I can't see my way through. If everybody that ever served God only served God, who could see their way through, nobody ever gets to the finish line. You have to see your way through. Just keep on till you find it. Keep on till you find it. Keep on till you find it. Till he find it. He sought the sheep. Until she find it, she sought the coin. How about you? Quitter? Huh? Huh? Father,